Hello and welcome to the Broadcast Tech Talks podcast. I'm senior reporter Max Miller, and for this episode I'm speaking to Forever Audio's senior sound engineer Alistair Bolt and ADR manager Gabriel Dutru about the present and future of ADR.
Hi, my name's Al. I'm the senior engineer at Forever Audio. I started here making the teas and coffees, and then kind of, as most engineers do, one thing leads to another, and then you end up recording things and mixing things and, you know, saying yes to everything that comes to my onto my plate. But yeah, I spend my day mixing, recording, recording a lot of ADR, mixing a lot of adverts. You know, we also work in film and TV, so, you know, lots of bits and bobs, and we do a bit of everything.
Hi, I'm Gabriel. I'm the ADR manager and audio producer also at Forever Audio. Like Al, I started a while ago. I started as a junior dubbing engineer. So I started actually mixing. I have quite a good technical background, and kind of everything led into ADR, ADR being quite technical also. So I'm more on the production side. I manage client communication, kind of also helping with the prep, ADR cues, etc.
Okay, cool. Thanks both. Hopefully most of our listeners know what ADR is, but how should productions approach ADR? What can it be? You know, people always think of it using it to clean up audio or to kind of add in a script change or something, but what's the entire spectrum of what it can be used for as well?
Yeah, so super broad. Ideally, you'd never have to do any ADR. It's obviously something that happens in post-production, but just like anything, once productions get later and into the stages, there's so many things that still can be done and so many things that change during post-production. There's lots of things that happen during production that people don't quite have the control over that they want, that can mean that ADR is just a really helpful thing just to get the best product possible. So there's all sorts of reasons that you'd need to get it. Production might decide that they want to add new lines into the TV show or film that they're working on. They might want to change a line or something, so they can kind of put them in there. In production, things can, you know, everyone wants everything to go smoothly, but, you know, things like weather and the set conditions can come into play, and dialogue that you might have thought would be usable isn't. You might want to get that again in ADR. Tech fails, as much as you want it to be completely, reliant on it all the time. A mic goes down, but you've got the perfect take, but you can't use one of the microphones is muffled, or, you know, the cable's broken or something. You know, you might have to get a line again then. And sometimes things like clarity, you know, ultimately everyone wants the best product possible, but someone mumbles a word, you know, something like that, and it's a fantastic take, everyone loves it, but you just can't quite hit here someone's name or something like that. There's all sorts of reasons to do it, so it's kind of like, once you get into it, it doesn't seem like such a necessary evil. It's especially as we see our part of the process, you're always looking to enhance something. So I think kind of embracing that it's something that it doesn't have to be done, it's something that you do to make things, you know, smoother, better, help narrative, you know, help clarity, all manner of reasons, but I think ultimately just kind of embracing that it's something that really can make everything sound so much better.
Almost everything, basically, it can be useful at the end. But then in what you're saying, like, some of those things can bring up challenges, because, for example, the outdoor conditions, which are making it hard to pick up the voice in the first place, like, how do you recreate them in a studio setting, or making sure an actor is feeling the same way as they were when they gave that really good take what could be quite a fair amount of time later on.
Yeah, exactly. There's also, so when we come in and recreating that performance, it's trying to get it as close to the, oftentimes with something like that, it's trying to get it as close to what you got on the day, because, you know, often with many of the circumstances in which you need ADR, what you have is like, oh, a lot of people go, oh, we love it, you know, it's great, but we can't use it because X, Y, Z, that kind of thing. So we have all sorts of little, you know, tips and tricks and techniques to try and get things as close as possible. I think the main part of it is just, it's all about the actors. I'm here on the technical side and need to be trusted that I'm going to, you know, put the mic up correctly, you know, and clip mics on in the right place and things like that, and, you know, record it all seamlessly. But the dark art to ADR is understanding that the actors are so important, and making them feel really comfortable and relaxed so that they can perform in the way that they need to, and things like that. If it's something like weather, so where you can't use the mics because it's raining or whatever, it's understanding sometimes that, oh, well, you need to kind of encourage the actor to speak a bit louder, that kind of thing, to simulate what they would do with their voice, would have done with the voice on the day, but the conditions kind of fought against it. So for something like that, we would hopefully have the, the original recordings from the day, and we'll always be able to play back actors whatever they need, so we can play it, in isolation. We can loop it up so they can hear it lots of times, but with the intention of, letting them feel comfortable that they can recreate that as seamlessly as possible. So yeah, with something that's kind of existing that we need to get again, it's all, all about that, making them comfortable and, recreating it. With adding new things, we do a lot of lines for things like continuity, where we'll get the line before and the line after, and then kind of place the new line in the middle, but have lots of options of where to cross over, and watch this whole scene with the actor and make sure that they're comfortable that where they need to pitch the line and things like that. It's kind of understanding that there's all these many reasons you can do it, and the key to each line that you're recording could be different, but getting the actor into the space in which they can deliver it, that it fits seamlessly in. And there's all sorts of ways we can kind of get it in there, matching the tone and intensity and things like that. But yeah, it kind of depends on the line and the reason, really. It's and the experience helps you draw on the bank of like, we'll do it like this because I've seen this before and we've tried this many, and this tends to work for that and things like that. Oftentimes, if we're getting something just to basically recreate the exact same recording, we'll even just do like a listen and repeat where we'll play the line and then give the actor the freedom to say it again, two, three, four times after, find a take that everyone likes, the director likes, the the producers like, and we can kind of go from there. And then technically the next part is making sure that I can kind of fit it into the space. We do a lot of work with getting the reverb just right and EQing the lines just as we play them back so that it matches tonality in the technical sense as well as the performance. Because sometimes you do those things and nobody's happy until they hear it exactly how it needs to be. So those things can kind of help as well. And then on the other side is the timing and the pace and things like that, is getting that just right, that we can kind of help the actor through with performance. But then I can also, we work in pretty much exclusively in Pro Tools and editing quickly on the fly and being really comfortable with, how I can stretch and do little edits to get the take matching timing wise and things like that, so that it fits the lip sync, is really key to kind of getting it fit in. And when productions come in, I think most productions have an understanding that takes a couple of minutes, and if we can get sometimes a minute here, a minute there, just to get it fit in and sounding just right. You don't need to go for 100 takes. You get the one that sounds just right, and it doesn't matter. You've got, it fits perfectly. And then you can completely forget that you didn't get the right recording on the day, or it's a new line or whatever. It's in there. It's bedded in seamlessly, and it kind of works.
Yeah, definitely. The key thing is definitely for the, to kind of to recreate the right atmosphere for the actor to just be able to act as best as he can and really feels like he's back on set. So as Al said, there's a lot of tips and tricks, but yeah, there's, for example, let's say there's a scene where the actor is running and he's shouting something. You would basically have him kind of run by himself in the studio to be kind of out of breath when he says his line, and little things like that, like you kind of learn. And it's also so kind of recreating it as that atmosphere for the actor, but everyone in the room. Most of the time you're in a big open room with directors, producers. Yes, sometimes some directors will really kind of direct everything, and Al's job is really kind of purely technical and sit back. And sometimes some people need a bit more guidance. So it's really adapting to people also a lot. And I'd say, I guess, also production side, main challenges, as we work with a lot of actors and their availabilities are kind of tight most of the time, let's say. Sometimes actors, basically, they're already on their next job and kind of ADR is pulling them back into what in their mind is already finished. So you basically have to work around actor schedule, having to work sometimes out of hours, weekends, and yeah, actors' location, production location. We do a lot of recording over Sus Connect or even Zoom, connecting with, I don't know, production in LA, for example. That happens a lot. Or Australia. So if it's Australia, we would start early. LA, we usually start quite late. And yeah, I guess just flexibility and adapt to everyone.
Is that something when they're so far away in your office, not in person, kind of not in your studio, does that make it much more difficult as well?
So most of the time, I mean, there's two occasions. Either the actor will be somewhere else, but most of the time it's another studio. And if we connect with them, that means director and production are with us. But now with Sus Connect and Zoom, we can see each other, and the sync is just, there's zero latency. So I think everyone got used to it, and it's fine. I don't know, Al, what you think.
Yeah, everyone's so comfortable, with just Zoom, jumping on Zoom calls and things like that. I think the kind of etiquette of being online is almost becoming second nature to people now. So that part of it makes it a lot easier. I guess as an engineer, just jumping on and straight away being communicative and affable and very quickly if you can get everyone in the right headspace, whether or not the actor's with you or the production side are with you, if you can communicate with everyone quickly and just problem solve as quickly as you normally would with a normal session, those barriers really kind of drop down pretty quickly. Yeah, it doesn't take much to kind of get things going. And as Gabe says, when things weren't quite as seamless and have a bit of latency, that can really hamper communication. We very rarely work with another studio that doesn't have great internet connection, or if a member of production jumps on a Zoom, that very rarely can do you have that thing where people start talking over each other. That can make things really difficult, but it just happens so rarely now that it's it can almost be pretty seamless really. And we always try and have lots of things. If we've got whoever we've got with us, we always try and have lots of tablets up in the room, because that thing with the online thing is if you've got that face-to-face connection as well, that just breaks down another barrier. And especially with the performance part, so if we had an actor with us and say the production was in LA or something or New York, then yeah, having a tablet that where the production can see the actor means that they can not only just have the chat and they feel like they're talking face to face, but performance-wise they can see what they're doing. Back in the day when we would just be doing things over without video, someone might go, "Oh, are you moving around? I can't really hear it," that kind of thing. Now they can see it and hear it, and I think vision sometimes just it just makes you not worry. You can see, you can not only can you see, hear it, but you can see it and things like that. So that's I think that's a big part that's helped the communication for that remote stuff. But yeah, it all feels pretty seamless these days.
Kind of on the other end, are there things that the production can do before it even gets to you guys, kind of thing, like earlier on, like in the way they set up, in the way they record stuff on set, that can help out with the ADR later in the process?
Very rarely do I kind of get something through where I feel like there's been a bad sound recorded. So many people in production are so talented at what they do. It's lots of sound recorders get extra coverage and things like that. But I guess for our part of the process, our communication is with usually someone like a dialogue editor, and their job is to take all the sound from set and kind of conform it and get it all in place, and where they might go through and often find extra takes and things like that. So we'll often be in the middle of an ADR session and the dialogue editor will flag to the producer and the director, "Okay, so we've got this marked for ADR, but we do actually have some other options from set." So then we'll not only be able to get an ADR line, but there are other options from the day. There's a lot of software that really helps with with their process now, with things like tools like Kraken and things like that, and that can really quickly get all these sound files in and managed and in place, so they know, production know what they have. I think that's the key. Like if the production came to us and were like, "We want to ADR the whole thing," then it would, where'd you start? How long's a piece of string, kind of thing. But I think productions so often come in now prepared because the dialogue editor knows what the production want. They've got options for where they think they might have things, but they are often so clued on what will work in terms of clarity and noise. And I know that as a engineer, if it comes to me with a note of it's too noisy, there's also the dialogue editor will have had pr a pretty good go at it with all the denoising tools that they have at their disposal. The Isotope tools and DX Revive are really great at salvaging things that wouldn't, you think you would have put on the chopping block before. And oftentimes they'll still be marked up, we'll still get them. Dialogue knows that they've got the options then. Yeah, so I think a really strong dialogue editor will come into an ADR session knowing what they've got and knowing what they need. And that's a really key part of production thinking about ADR is knowing, yeah, coming in knowing what they need.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's more the Post-production coordinators and supervisors that come to us, they've been working with a dialogue editor ahead to coming and booking ADR. So they kind of do all of that work before to kind of figure out which lines they need to record. It also depends on the show or the film and on their budget. Sometimes they have just a budget to, I don't know, record that amount of ADR in 2 days, and the dialogue editor will have to decide which line they are to record. Some other big budget films or show will be able to re-record every little lines that they think can be improved. So, but we as a studio, ADR studio, we're not really involved all of this. On my side, it's usually post-production coordinators or post-production supervisors that contact me. They have a rough post-production schedule month in advance, and they'll basically pencil ADR for the allocated ADR weeks they have in their schedule. So they have blocks with, this week's we're going to do block one, episode one and two ADR. Same thing for coloring. Next week we've got the mix, etc. So we don't know, I mean, we don't see all those details. We're kind of just focused on ADR.
There's so many parts to it, and they can kind of flag up at different points. So you would probably know if it rained on a day, or you were on a bridge that was really windy. You'd know you'd probably need to get that pretty sharpish. But if then further down the line there were edits, and then you realised that you needed ADR because the flow of the scene wasn't right, and you need to insert a line, or you know that kind of thing, or change the intonation, or you know, oh, actually we have to now cut halfway through this line, and we need it to not go up, we need it to go down, that kind of thing. You're not going to know that till later in the production process. So you can't, you know, we don't expect productions to be recording straight away as soon as they've finished a recording on set. I think a good production will just know what they need and have the appropriate time for it. You know, if you've got 100 lines and you want to try and get them done an hour, you're going to get 50 done badly. If you know what you need and you book the time accordingly, then you're going to get really good results, and you can cover off ADR for all sorts of reasons. And also, it often helps with the actor knowing that there's a broad range of things that they're in for. If they come in going, often the times they'll come in and go, oh, we're doing this scene, aren't we? And then we'll go, oh, yeah, no, well, as you expect, we are covering that one off, but actually, we've got a few more other bits and bobs. Don't worry too much, we'll use the original sound where we can and stuff like that. It kind of makes it feel, you know, you kind of need a few lines to get stuck into it, really. So, yeah, you know, it happening slightly later in the production process isn't a terrible thing. We are often recording ADR right before it's inserted into the mix because it can, you know, well, we can record it. It can go to the dialogue editor, and it can be in the mix the day after, which happens quite a lot. And it's there's a lot of factors that kind of come into play. But yeah, just having a, you know, when we come in, if it's clear what we need and why we need it, then that's the best thing the production can do, and we'll get them the best results. As I say, you know, they can then judge, and we can also help tell people how long they need for it. You know, if we've got an hour to do four lines, they'll be the best four lines you've ever heard. But you know, and oftentimes we'll have a full day of loads and loads of lines. But you know, if they're not crammed in and they're all for all many different reasons and things, it doesn't get for you know tiring for the actors. They can kind of really get into a good place with their performance and stuff. Then it's yeah, then it'll go pretty smoothly.
And well, while it's consistent, what is changing, I guess, on from a technological side of things? There's obviously, well, plenty of new things coming up every day, basically, but how's the ADR process being improved or made faster and things like that?
Yeah, it's one of those things that's on from the kind of as we alluded to earlier, the key thing is making sure that everyone's comfortable and you get the best performance possible. So in a sense, that's never going to change. Actors are still going to have to come in and record, and we're still going to want them to give the best performances. I think where things are improving are kind of bringing down whatever barriers we can bring. You know, originally when ADR would have started out, you're talking about tape. And having to, you know, lug a tape machine out, and every time you want to go for a take, it takes ages, and you can't play it back seamlessly. So, you know, a lot of those advancements have already happened. Where, you know, sitting in Pro Tools now, I can play a line, jump to the end of the TV show, six episodes later, play something else, throw around, and things like that. So that's, you know, we're already kind of at that stage. Things that have really helped us recently are things that really help us bed in that ADR seamlessly, so that the what you could do before, but not as quickly, is emulate the mix as quickly as possible. So we really love a tool called Chameleon, which is a plugin which whilst I'm lining up the take, I can feed it the production and it will basically give me an impulse response from it. And from that impulse response, I can then have a reverb. So during the time it takes to record a take, I've already got a reverb that matches the scene seamlessly. I might have to tweak it a touch, you know, there's always that human factor to get it sounding just right. But yeah, I can have a take, play it back straight away, and it's in the room and it's EQ'd, and I, you know, can finesse and everything. But if you can do that one take where everyone goes, God, it's the perfect take and it sounds great, I'm not worried when it gets to the mix, that really speeds things up. And I think actors, when they can hear how it's going to sound when it goes in the mix, they just go, oh, it's fine, I'm in a safe pair of hands. And the trust that having those tools gets you is kind of invaluable in the moment where someone looks at you and goes, oh, he knows what he's doing, or he or she knows what they're doing, is brilliant for me. So, yeah, plugins like that are really speeding things up. Things like Undertone as well for generating fill really quickly. So, you know, obviously once we record a line, we want to record it nice and clean, but on the day there's, you know, hiss and things like that. If we need to generate ambience to go underneath it, then we can do that really quickly. Yeah, and we're also really keen on, as you might have guessed from the performance side, being creative with these things. And the quicker the technical things get, the more you liberate your brain to kind of do other things. And that's hopefully where things like AI go, is that as an engineer, I can not worry so many about technical elements, but I can. So something we did in a production recently was that we brought a bucket of water, well, a tank of water in, and we got rented a hydrophonic microphone, and we were dunking people underwater. And we could have always done that, but we were able to get tons of recording really quickly, and I could bed it in super quickly. And that kind of was possible so quickly because I wasn't worried about, you know, any of the technical things going on, in combination with a few plugins, like I said, with Chameleon. And we use something like Speakerphone or Futzbox to emulate, you know, someone wearing a face mask, in this case, a scuba diving kit. We could really quickly make it sound like it was basically bedded in. And yeah, the production were really happy that not only could we do that, but it didn't slow anything down. We were recording just as much as if it was a line that was not throwing an actor underwater and things like that. But yeah, so things like that are really exciting for us, where we can offer more creatively, I guess, and yeah, break down that barrier of where people think ADR is something that sounds robotic and something that's like a necessary evil. But and things like that really enhance. And then you think about it and you go, oh, well, you couldn't even record those things on set, because as much of a controlled environment it is, you can't think about those parts of the performance, you can't capture those parts of the performance. These are things that couldn't be there kind of without it, and things like that. And then, you know, that's one of the extremes, part of the scale. But when we're doing normal cues, I often spend so much time talking with the actors about things like movement and what they can do to kind of rough the lines up and make them not sound perfect, and being so confident in the tech that we have and where it's going. You know, those things just make ADR sounds completely, well, so not like what you would imagine ADR to sound like, basically.
I think my job also, kind of when I chat with the post-production coordinators, supervisors, and kind of is seeing the cues before it gets to the engineer. The great example Al used with that film set, that was basically, that film was set at sea. Everything was just in water. So we kind of had a discussion with their production and our engineers, and we decided to basically get a tank of water and get hydrophonic microphones. And we basically tested ahead to see if it would work, because we weren't even sure how it would sound. But it sounded great and everyone was really happy. So yeah, I guess on my side, it's also kind of a bit of foresight and kind of trying things in discussion with our engineers and the production and what they have in mind.
Obviously that's stuff that's happening already, but what kind of predictions would you make for, you know, in a year's time or in 5 years' time, kind of thing, looking forward, What are the kind of things that you think will come to ADR and be used more often?
It's hard to, from my side as an engineer, I'm just always excited to see new, tools that I can do to get this aid, get things sounding as good as possible, as quickly as possible. So it's hard to say what the next one's going to be because, for me, it was always, how are we going to get the reverb and the EQ sounding as good as quickly as possible? And that's really starting to come into fruition. Things on the there's other parts of the post-production side which we might not see, is that we might, certain cues that we might have had to get before, we might not, and things like that. In terms of where it's going, it's kind of hard to say. It's just exciting. I think for me as well, after COVID and there's been the actor strikes as well, having people back in the room is so exciting, and I think productions are see the value in that. And I hope the way that it's going is that people really keep valuing ADR and what it can do when you go to somewhere that really records it well, and how much it can enhance a show. So I guess where it's going is that I hope it kind of carries on and keeps being held as something that has to happen, because it can really do so much.
Yeah, I guess it's really hard to know, because AI, of course, it's a hot topic and everything is changing quickly. But to be honest, ADR is still a very high-end kind of job and requires actors coming into studios. But it's not just for the quality, it's really for the performance and having everyone in the same room. And some directors love that process, and I don't think they're gonna want to change that. So it's kind of hard to know in a year what's gonna happen, but I don't think it's gonna change that much.
So yeah, we've got so many ways of getting people in a session remotely and getting them really good quality audio now. That big jump has kind of happened, and I hope that all the solutions, because there's many ways of, dialing people in, or that they all keep improving and keep pushing each other. We still use LTC and things like that, because so if it ain't broke, don't doesn't need fixing. If those tools keep improving, then the barrier between people not being there will hopefully dissolve as much as possible. We're all about having people in the room and getting these great performances where we can, but we know that that can't always happen, and where it can't, if the tools keep improving, then that's really exciting for us that we can keep doing those things. Often we're with the remote side of ADR, we've got the actor here, or we have the booth and or the open room, and we know that if we know that everyone that dials in is really happy with the quality, then that's great. And if that keeps improving, then it just takes the weight off the mind of productions who are based somewhere where their actor isn't. As Gabe says, your actor's on another shoot in another near London, which is the circumstance we find ourselves in often. Then it's great that we know that a production in New York can trust us, that and they don't. It's always slightly disheartening when you hear someone say, "I can't quite hear it right, but I'll have to trust you." It's nice that they trust us, but if that gets better and better, then that's only exciting for us, I think.
Thank you for listening to the Broadcast Tech Talks podcast. Remember to subscribe for more episodes soon, and go to broadcastnow.co.uk/tech for more content.